You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Ravens Weekly Podcast. This is episode 86. Yes, we've got that far. 86. That's 14 off 100. Unbelievable. My name's Matt Hall and I'm always joined by Jeff Hutton, and he's here again with me today. Jeff, how are we doing?
Very well, thank you. Hello everyone.
Let's get started then today, Jeff. We've got a few things to go through on today's episode, and the first of which being addressing some kind of speculation that was going around during the week.
Yep. When you say speculation, Matt, I presume you just mean complete falsehoods, unsubstantiated rumours, yep, and poor journalism. But yeah, job done. I mean, we were all there at Rotherham, weren't we? We all saw him when he came over to the fans and basically gestured that he was staying. It was a non-story then and it's still a non-story. So moving on.
Exactly. Talking of Rotherham, Jeff, we had differing views on the day, didn't we? You had the pleasure of standing with the fantastic away support on the day.
Oh,
in
brilliant.
Great number.
It was brilliant. They put us in the family stand opposite the main stand. Lovely stadium, has to be said.
Beautiful.
You know, really, really, really nice. And it was just a brilliant atmosphere on the concourse, on the terraces. Seats. Steep, though.
It was, wasn't it?
Steep.
Yeah.
Considering they've got a lot of space around there, they've made it quite steep. But unfortunately, we didn't get a goal to celebrate, to find out if we would have fallen down those numerous rows of seats. But it was really, really good. And I know when we first turned up, they only had like one food and drink outlet open.
I heard it sold out.
Massive queues, and then they had to open up another one for half time as well. But it was just a really good atmosphere on the concourse. Like I say, on the concourse, everyone while they were queuing were all singing, bouncing, jumping up and down. It was superb. And I know I mentioned it in the email, and we're going to put some stuff out on Instagram. Like, we've got to be able to try and replicate and bring that same energy to Hayes Lane, and we're going to try and do that. We've got some ideas, and I'm sure there's a lot of listeners who also have ideas as well, who have submitted them, and we sent it out as part of Ravens Weekly on Monday. But yeah, it'd be great. Like I said, we've got two big home games coming up, and it'd be great to try and replicate the atmosphere at home. And yeah, we've got a few ideas around that. I'm sure listeners have as well. So do get in touch via Instagram or via the usual means on email and stuff, because I think we've got a really good opportunity to try and get something going. I know we've called it a singing section. It doesn't sound very, what's the word? Cool. but yeah, I think it's just going to give someone, it's going to give everyone a
groovy.
It's going to give those that want to sing and get involved, it's going to give them a place to go, etc. So I'm quite looking forward to that. We're against time, I think, for Saturday coming. I'm going to see what we can do, but more on that coming out over the next few days, I think.
And of course, more on that Andy Woodman alludes to in his interview, and you'll be able to catch that with us shortly. From our perspective, I'm saying our in terms of me and Josh, who's also sat here with us, we had the pleasure of being in the fantastic press box facility, where we were joined by Mash, who was doing the report for the non-league paper, and we were very well looked after. So a huge thank you to everyone at Rotherham United. But the main point was, it was an interesting experience being opposite that wall of Bromley support, I think I called it, when the teams walked out. And what an amazing sight for the team to walk out to at the start of the game. And Jeff, I know they made it very clear at the end of the game, them, the players and the management team, just how much they appreciated that support. There's some really nice scenes at the end, despite the result.
No, it was, yeah, absolutely fantastic. I mean, talking about the game itself, what were we, 35, 40 minutes in?
40, yeah.
0-0, thank you very much, that'll do. Get in at half-time. Fantastic strike from there, lad, to put them one up. No complaints there. Or obviously, loads of complaints for the second goal. I've watched it on my phone, and it was on BBC or something, wasn't it? I still don't think the keeper's touched it.
No, it does look that way from the footage.
Straight off a crossbar, it's not a corner. And if you go in at half time 1-0 down, it's a completely different story to us going in at 2-0 down. So that was disappointing. And then obviously, an absolute sensational red card.
Well, that's one word for it, isn't it?
At the start of the second half, we did not need that.
No.
I think the moment, was it Bush went in for the first challenge and didn't quite fully make contact with the player, and I could see Hadji running over. It was like, I think I winced before it even happened. No. I sort of had a feeling what was going to occur. And I think quite a lot of the fans didn't understand. And unfortunately, from that point, you probably knew it was inevitable what was going to happen. It didn't stop the fans having a good time on the terrace, though.
The noise was brilliant. The James Alabi chant, a particular highlight, I think.
Yeah, that was good. And, like you say, Matt, fantastic scenes at the end. I think the players and the management showed their appreciation for the fans, and obviously that was shown back. So, again, it turned into an FA Cup day out rather than what could have, potentially have been a very memorable occasion in the club's history. But, hey, there's always next year. And, of course, the FA Trophy.
Yes, yeah, to come. TBC. Well, for those of you wanting to relive those goals, then just stick with us for a couple of minutes. If you don't, just skip ahead a couple of minutes. Here they are. Forster is unable to head it away. Ogbene is going to chase it and does reach it. Ogbene to take on Forster again. Gets the ball into the box towards Rathbone. It's Wiles with the shot and it's in. And it's an amazing strike from Ben Wiles, the substitute on the edge of the box. And Bromley will be absolutely gutted with that one. They've held their own so well here this afternoon for 43 minutes. But just as half-time approaches, the substitute, Ben Wiles, smashes in from the edge of the box. Rotherham United 1, Bromley 0. Ferguson to whip this corner in. It'll be left-footed. It's towards the back post, towards Ihakwe, who heads it down towards Wood. And it's flicked over the line by Ladapo. And Rotherham have two. Freddie Ladapo, a scrappy goal in the six-yard box. Bromley not able to clear the ball from the corner. And all of a sudden, two goals in 4 minutes, and Bromley are 2-0 down. Now Grigg looking to turn and shoot on the edge of the box. Back to Wiles, though, who's going to think about having a pop. Barlaza now in towards Grigg in the box. It's Coyote. Holds it up well. Back to Grigg. Barlaza now thinks about the shot. Great block by Corley, but it comes out to Wiles, who goes for a shot from distance. And it's a great save by Cousins. It comes out to Boller, though. Boller with the ball across the face of goal, and it's tapped in at the back post. And Will Grigg has his goal. Nothing Mark Cousins could do about that one. A great initial save. Boller drilled the ball back across the six-yard box, and Will Grigg had the simple task of smashing it home from virtually on the goal line. Rotherham United 3, Bromley 0. So moving off first team matters briefly, and we're going to discuss the FA Youth Cup. Now, Jeff, I think we probably went over this in enough detail in the last podcast, but we thought it was done and dusted.
Andy's still our manager. Sorry.
Oh, is that breaking
just
news?
Just to clarify that. Yeah.
Have you got a source for that?
Yeah. Next.
FA Youth Cup tonight. We are recording this on Friday for those of you listening. So if you're listening on Saturday, it's happened already. We are going to do a live stream of it. But Jeff, it's a bit of an odd one, isn't it? The match being replayed.
Yeah, incredibly. Did we touch on it last week?
We did, yes.
Yeah. And obviously the referee's seen being a player, and that's why it's had to be replayed. But I must admit, I saw Steve and Jamal earlier today. Obviously, it's they're very much up for it. No doubt the players are up for it. You know, second time around, get the job done again. And like you say, the reward, if you can call it that, is a trip to Forest Green Rovers on Tuesday. So it's a very quick turnaround. It's not the whole situation is unfortunately a bit of a farce for all those involved. I'm sure Lewis are coming here thinking they've got, rightly or wrongly, they've got a second chance and they've got a great opportunity. So it's going to be a really tough affair. It'd be great to see as many fans as possible come down for this one tonight. Like you say, it is going to be live streamed. Also, again, just be great for them to progress, and again, great for the lads involved to be making, to hopefully continue to make history, get to the next round, travel to Forest Green Rovers, I'm sure a stadium that none of them have played at, and test themselves against even stronger opposition.
And they're incredibly talented, aren't they, Jeff? I've looked at the squad list today, and actually a good 80, 90% of them are involved in the under-23s, which it just shows they're playing above their age as well.
Oh yeah, well, there's a fantastic pool of talent, like you say, and I think you've seen over the years, and I think you're seeing this year. And again, I think we've used the loan market and the dual registration market as well. Obviously, we've seen this week. Was it Finlay?
Finlay Lovett, yeah.
23s, obviously. Go out on loan. Is that Billy Ricky?
It is, yeah. Four goals in 21 minutes, I think it was, in an FA Youth Cup game. It's one of the most astonishing performances I've ever seen from a player at any level. Absolutely outstanding. Good luck to the lad. I'm sure he'll do well there. I guess then, good luck to the team tonight. Tune into the stream if you can.
Definitely.
And we'll hopefully have some good news for you on next week's
I'm
Ravens Weekly.
I'm looking forward to going to Forest Green next Tuesday.
Moving on then, back to first team matters.
Yes, one of the players we were talking about, Matt, earlier before we came on air was obviously players that have made an impact, Matt, and one of them obviously being Jack Cawley.
Jack Cawley, yes, and I'm sure he won't mind me saying, probably an unexpected impact in the sense that he was brought on 1-0 away to Woking. We were 1-0 up, we'd just scored. Or actually, it might have been 0-0 at the time, but he was brought on to shore it up a bit at the back and just calm things down a little bit and actually got played in midfield, which was interesting. And I know we've discussed it before on the commentary and elsewhere. I think he won four or five headers in a row with his first involvement after coming on. However, he did then score quite a brilliant goal to put the side 2-0 up with just 5 minutes left on the clock.
I've heard it.
Well, rumour is you were heard from the other side of the ground on the night, but and I'm not sure about that one. But anyway, it was a fantastic moment for him, and he enjoyed celebrating that in front of the fans. And then, of course, he had an unexpected appearance, or an early appearance, unfortunately, with the injury to Billy Bingham at Rotherham. Came on and played midfield, and again, Jeff did a job, didn't he?
Yes, yeah. I mean, like you say, unexpected early introduction. That was a funny one, wasn't it, with the concussion subs and everything we made. God knows how many subs we made there. But yeah, like you say, Woking, unbelievable impact. Again, to be fair, I don't think he put a foot wrong at Rotherham.
No, he didn't.
With all due respect.
Worked hard. Very old school player, I like that.
Definitely, yeah. I think he's, like I say, I think he's made a really good impact.
Absolutely, and we caught up with the man himself around all things Bromley FC and settling in, and here's what he had to say.
Jack, we're not quite 2 weeks into your time here yet, but how have you found settling in here?
Yeah, I've loved it. You know, like I said before, since I've come in, the Agatha, Dodge and Danny, they've all made me feel so welcome, and so have the boys, so yeah, I've enjoyed it.
And you really seem to have settled very well into the group and all the banter and all of that as well in training we've seen.
Yeah, listen, the boys have welcomed me nicely, so yeah, I've enjoyed it.
And how's it been from the transition from part-time at Wildstone to full-time here?
Yeah, it's been okay, you know. Like I said, I've been full-time before, so I was out in America for a while and I was full-time out there, so yeah, I kind of... it may have been like 2 years since I haven't been full-time, but yeah, I feel like I've adapted well.
And as we said, you've not been here too long yet, but I think it's very clear to see that the manager's really got a DNA in his players and his staff, hasn't he, here?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you can see by the players he's recruited and that are here have got bags of experience. So yeah, they're good players to look up to and be playing and training alongside.
And there's a lot of young talent as well here. I'm sure you've noticed that already.
Yeah, so likes of... Marcus, Jude, you know, Skiff, all young lads. So they're all young lads who have got a lot of ability, and it's good to see them doing well.
And you came on away at Woking, you played central midfield, you came on and scored a brilliant goal. That must have been a great moment for you.
Yeah, you know, I loved it. As a centre-half, I don't really score many goals, but happened to be in the right place at the right time, and happened to take the goal well.
Midfield, is that a role you've played before?
When I was younger, not for a few years, but yeah, it's kind of a role that I have played before, yeah.
And you're thrown into it again, away to Rotherham, obviously Billy coming off with the injury, and you were straight into it, little time to think or prepare for that. It's a big game as well to do that, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Unfortunately, Billy obviously got a head injury, and luckily he's all right now, but yeah, I think Gaffer just said to go in and do what I'd done on the Tuesday, and obviously I tried to do that. So yeah, it was a little bit longer, a bit more intense, but yeah, I enjoyed it.
It was a good performance, wasn't it? Shame about the result, but a really good shift from everyone.
Yeah, to be fair, it was a great performance. I think the ref killed us, to be fair. I think you must have heard and saw, but yeah, I think we had a chance earlier on with James. If it fell the right way, we'd have won 1-0 up and things would have been different. But yeah, unfortunately, I think the ref killed us and come away with a loss.
And to walk out and see that level of support from the Bromley fans, what did that mean to you and the rest of the players?
Yeah, it was great. You know, I think the boys are talking amongst themselves, saying just what a good atmosphere they made. It's great numbers to travel all the way to Rotherham, so fair play to them.
And we travel to Stockport this Saturday. It's going to be another tough game, but looking to carry on the good form in the league.
Yeah, we know Stockport are a good side. You know what I mean? They've got some good players. I think Gaffer's setting us up with a game plan to go there and win. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Well, Jack, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Great to hear from Jack there, Matt. And obviously, in better FA Cup news, women's FA Cup, Matt.
Women's FA Cup, and Bromley, of course, with a brilliant 2-0 victory in front of a great crowd, 536 at Hayes Lane.
It was a great day.
Last time out. What an amazing experience that was to be involved with, and a really good performance on the day. They were outstanding from back to front, and their reward for the next game is a trip to face QPR Women. And that's held at Hanwell Town. That's going to be on Sunday, the 14th of November. And it's a 1:15 kickoff. Tickets are £3 for an adult, with under 16s going in for free. QPR haven't had the best season so far. So although it is a bit of a Bromley are the underdog, certainly.
One of three or four teams left from... Like the lowest ranked team left in the competition.
One of the four lowest ranks, I believe. Yeah, which is absolutely brilliant, and good luck to the ladies. I'm sure that if they play like they did against Hastings,
I'm going there. I can't wait.
They can definitely cause an upset here. So best of luck to them, and fingers crossed for a good result.
Brilliant.
Moving on then, aren't we?
Are we?
We are moving on. Yes, to community. In which there have been a number of player appearances in the past couple of weeks, which has been absolutely brilliant to see and be involved with. And when I say first team, that extends across our men's first team and ladies as well. It's absolutely brilliant to see. Thank you to all of the players that visited our soccer schools and Saturday sessions. Andy Woodman, Roger Johnson, Alan Dunn coming down to a session, and Roger Johnson actually getting involved in one of the little matches as well, which is brilliant for the kids. We had Jade Davenport from our ladies' side who joined in with the Wildcat session, and that was great, and it's brilliant for these young girls to have role models to look up to in the women's game as well. Byron Webster coming to the actual game itself, which was brilliant, and more players, Chris Bush and Billy Bingham, actually taking a session in our October soccer camp, which was great.
More recently, you had... Corey as well, didn't you, on a Zoom?
Yeah, this was absolutely brilliant, and there is an article on the website with some more information for those of you that want to have a read. We had a Zoom call with the Bromley Dementia Support Hub, and I've been doing a bit of work with Victoria Lawrence on how we can engage with them on our side, and we had the pleasure really of having a Zoom call with some of the young onset dementia group, and it was really amazing to hear the stories of these people and their experiences, and Corey spent a good half an hour just chatting to all of them on there, and telling them about life as a professional footballer and answering loads of questions, and they all thoroughly enjoyed it. It was brilliant.
The faces on that screen.
Oh, you can see, I'm just looking at them now. It's brilliant. And the best thing about it is they're all going to come down and support the team against King's Lynn next week, which is
brilliant. Absolutely
fantastic. And I think all of them want to meet Corey and thank him personally, because I spent some time with them on the call after Corey finished, and they were absolutely taken aback by it. And it's really, really nice to see this impact. It's really special to be able to help facilitate and provide that. So thank you to Corey, and thank you to all of the players who've been involved in those things. It really is wonderful.
And obviously, coming up later this month, we've got the pleasure of hosting the Bromley School Games football tournament. Is that for SEN and for the boys?
Yes, there are two groups. So we've got an SEN tournament running in the morning, which is going to be a first for us in terms of local schools and that kind of provision. It's going to be absolutely brilliant. I think at the moment we've got 9 schools signed up in the SEN tournament, and we're really, really excited to host that and meet everybody. And the boys' tournament, get ready for it. Currently 24 primary schools signed up, and possibly more to come as well. So huge thank you to Kim and Delith, who are just amazing people at the Bromley School Games. And we're really, really excited to host that tournament. And I'm sure we're going to be providing some kind of updates and coverage on exactly how it goes. But that's same day as the Yeovil game, so lots of football going on that day.
We've got tickets to the Yeovil game. We've got a lot of the teachers joining us upstairs, haven't we, in the exec club?
Kim and Delith are coming. We've got a couple of local teachers as well from the schools, which is lovely. It's going to be really, really nice to see everyone come together. And yeah, fingers crossed we're going to be in for a good tournament. I'm sure it's going to be really exciting. They always are.
Saturday, Matt. Back to the first team. It's Bromley versus Stockport, or Stockport versus Bromley.
It is. And it's a second consecutive appearance on BT Sport at Edgeley Park for Bromley. Of course, Andy Woodman's, I think it was his second game in charge, was actually away to Stockport last year. Obviously, no fans on BT Sport, and that was a 0-0 draw. This time, it's on BT Sport again, 5:20 kickoff. For those of you who want to, come down and watch it in the Ravens Bar if you're not going to the game. Or you can join us on the commentary, where we'll be providing
still a few spaces on the
radio
sports
commentary
as well.
There are, as of now, Friday evening, there are still some spaces if you do want to come down to it, or come up to it, I should say. But yes, fingers crossed for another good performance. And we're looking to carry on that good form in the league and hopefully make it to that magical unbeaten figure of 10 games. So fingers crossed for a good result, and all the best to the team.
100%. Like you say, Matt, I think we've done ourselves proud on telly recently.
Certainly, I think we've done ourselves proud in general. And like you say, the past few TV appearances, and actually, it's funny, we're getting the BT Sport reporters coming down to the ground more and more recently, aren't we? Which is really, really good. And yeah, I think everyone's having positive things to say about Bromley at the minute. So let's hope that is the case tomorrow as well. We're really looking forward to it. And hopefully we can go and just do what we've been doing in the recent league games and carry on the good form.
And obviously, Matt, you had the pleasure of catching up with our manager, as Josh put it, over on Twitter earlier this week.
In bold.
You managed to catch up with him on Thursday afternoon, and here's what he had to say.
Andy, before we get started on Footballing Matters, it was wonderful to see the whole club, including players, management, staff on and off the pitch, coming together this morning to remember those who've made the ultimate sacrifice for us.
Yeah, most definitely. I thought it was a nice move by everyone here at the club to come and sort of pay their respects together. We're big on working together as a club on and off the pitch, and it was nice for all the guys that have built that stand to come down and pay their respects with the team as well. So that was a nice 2 minute silence we felt we should do.
And talking about last Saturday, the result didn't go our way, but it was a good test for the players, and they really put up a fight, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, it was going to be a tough ask, and like I said, it didn't go our way. Certain decisions didn't go our way, but that's gone now. We've moved on from that. We moved on from it very quickly on Monday, all our focus has been on Stockport since.
And how's training been this week?
We've had a good week. We've really sort of worked well on the pitch, got everyone fit and ready, so we're looking forward to the match on telly on Saturday, yeah, for sure.
From one big attendance probably to another Stockport with a very good following, it's going to be hopefully a good atmosphere as well at that one.
Yeah, I think it'll be a great atmosphere there, to be honest. They've got a new manager, so there'll be a lot of excitement and a lot of razzmatazz around the noise up there, and I'm sure their players will be looking to impress their new manager. But, you know, we're little Bromley coming to town, so hopefully we can give a good account of ourselves and just go about our business.
Absolutely. In second consecutive time at Stockport, we've been on BT Sport as well.
Yeah, I think it was my first game, actually, when I first came to the club at Stockport. So I'm looking forward to it, because last year we went there was no fans, and it'd be another good test for us, and really sort of to put our marker down again and keep doing what we're doing, you know, keep sort of pushing forward with the results.
And lots of long trips at the moment, isn't it? Another long one this week. The players seem to be dealing with that quite well, though.
Yeah, the trips have been thick and fast. In fairness, we prepare properly and we stay overnight, so no complaints from the lads. You know, they're really focused at the moment, we're looking forward to it. You know, it's going to be a great game. If I was a player still playing, I'd love to be playing in Saturday's game live on telly. With the support we're getting, fantastic. Yeah, looking forward to it.
And there was great support last week, wasn't it? The players really were really appreciative of it afterwards, and yourself and the management team as well. It was wonderful to see.
It was brilliant. And funny enough, I've been racking my brains all week of how we can sort of get an area at our football club where we create our own noise, because that group of supporters at Rotherham really created a lot of noise banging the metal at the back, and then and the noise and it generated around the place. So I've been wrecking my brains all week. So there's some fans who want to come to me and say, look, we want an area where we can create noise for your team. Brilliant. Come and make contact with me and let's get an area for you guys.
And one player that's been involved for a couple of weeks, you brought into the club recently, Jack Cawley. How's he been doing?
Yeah, Jack's been great. He's trained well with us. He's fitted in well with the lads. It helped for him coming on last week and scoring, but I think Jack fits our DNA. I think we saw that in abundance with the two games he's played. He'll go in and do a job wherever he's asked. So Jack's been a real good addition to us, I feel, and I think he'll be good for us going forward.
Well, Andy, thanks for your time. We'll catch up with you again on Saturday.
Thank you.
Always great to hear from Andy, Matt.
Absolutely. I think I say it every week, probably starting to sound a bit like a broken record, but interviewing Andy is always...
Yeah, both do.
Interviewing Andy is always a refreshing experience, and he's always very, very honest. And it's nice to hear his appreciation of that support. I think on the day, especially at Rotherham, it was very clear that he really appreciated that support. So, yeah, all round brilliant to see. And, yeah, he certainly enjoyed that atmosphere, and let's hope for more of that in the upcoming home games, Jeff. Speaking of which... Tickets are available.
Yeah, who have you got?
We've got Kings Lynn on the 20th, Saturday the 20th. We host Kings Lynn Town as the 3 o'clock kickoff. You can get your tickets for that.
And then again on the Tuesday night, we've got Yeovil.
Oh, yes, we do. That's always a tasty one, isn't it, against Yeovil Town?
The football under the floodlights at Hayes Lane is always...
something else, isn't
spectacular.
It?
Spectacular. Something always happens.
It does, doesn't it? It's always a great experience, football under floodlights.
Even away.
We absolutely love it.
Even at away games now.
Yes, apparently so. Well, or not under floodlights, as the case may be. But the tickets for both of those games are available on the website now. That's bromleyfc.co.uk. So get your tickets, come on down and get behind the team as we look to carry on some good form in the National League.
Some fantastic form.
It's been brilliant.
Who got manager of the month, by the way? I missed that. About 10, 12 days late now.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
It wasn't Andy, no?
No, I think it was the Solihull manager, Ardley.
Oh, why?
Not sure.
Oh, okay.
But mind you, don't they say that award's a curse?
True, very true.
So maybe we should be pleased.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, that's it from us, isn't it, today?
I think so. Unless there's a page I missed.
No, I think we're all good. We're all seven pages through our little running order here. So now we're off to watch the FA Youth Cup action. Don't forget, if you're listening to this before kickoff, there is
come
a stream.
On, Bromley.
Join us on YouTube. We'll come on down
boys
and support
get
the team.
The next round. We go and win tomorrow live on telly. The women go and win on Sunday into the next round. Happy days.
And the under-18s win again on Tuesday.
Correct.
That's it. That's what we want in the next few days. But thank you so much for listening to us
thank
and putting
you,
up with us again. And we'll be back with you once again next week. Have a good one.
What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from.